Wednesday's Lady Shirin Chavis Halvavus, Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. It's Wednesday, Chav Dalet Iyar, I believe. Unless it's Chafei Iyar. No, it's Chav Dalet Iyar. What do you know? Chav Dalet Iyar Tovshin Ayin Hey. Shirin Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. It's grounded the 12th Shir in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. Or at least we're calling it the 12th Shir. And it's Yom Aleph Parshas B'chukosai. Chav Dalet Iyar. Okay, since I always got a running start, so we can start a little early. And we're up to the fourth parak in the middle. Well, not in the middle there, into the fourth parak. What did we learn? We learned about Ha'ora Sichlis and Ha'ora Toronis. And in parak Dalet he says, I'm going to analyze Ha'ora Toronis. And he does this very methodically. He says some things which are also very poshut. And he'll go, and the whole parak is going to compartmentalize Torah and say, you know, and so. But remember, this was a very early work. I'm not quite sure how. There was no printing press yet, and it's an early work. I'm not so sure how aware people were of the various parts of Torah. Like what to us is so normal, you go into any house and any Beit Medrash, and then, like, you know. Chumash, Tanakh, Mishnayos, Gemara, Medrash. I don't know how poshut it was. Again, it's very early, and there was no printing press. It's such a different world without a printing press. You didn't have a sefer unless someone sat there and painstakingly wrote over the whole thing. You certainly can believe, like, there was one shas in the whole town, and it was missing three volumes. Now it's like any bar mitzvah boy, he's like, he already has a little. And now you buy it's a Chach Mahad drive, and you have 56,000 swarming. Fit into your pocket. Not in the head, but at least it's in your pocket. The Gemara's lashon of knowing something clearly is that it was in his pocket. Nowadays, you have it in your pocket and not know it at all. Okay. So he analyzed it. Now he's going to say something very interesting here. Because, if you remember, he talked about how limited Ha'orot Toronis is. Not how limited, but Ha'orot Toronis is more limited than Ha'orot Sichlis. Because it's bound by the rituals, you know, so at time. And Ha'orot Sichlis is 24-7. He's actually going to make a shift now. And in analyzing Ha'orot Toronis, he's going to actually say that it's really a 24-7 hour thing too. Why is that? When he starts analyzing Torah, he says there's mitzvahs and there's averis. He calls them tzivuyim and azharos. And in each one, there's chovos ha'ivarim and chovos ha'levavos. Okay. Then the third category he calls mutar, which we would call rishus. Not obligatory, but not prohibited. And, you know, once you get used to Yiddishkeit, and it becomes second nature not to eat a cheeseburger. Maybe even most of our lives we think is rishus. I mean, most of my day, I'm not doing mitzvah. Okay, there's the mitzvahs to me, maybe. Okay, that's a good point. I have to be doing mitzvahs every moment. I have to be aware of these six mitzvahs to me, which we have to learn about someday. Am I supposed to go around thinking about six things simultaneously the whole day? Kind of weird, and I don't know if it's possible to do it. Doing mitzvah, I'm certainly not doing an avera, so, I won't talk lashon hara, but most of the day it's like rishus. So let's see what he does with that. He calls it mutter, and he analyzes it, and he says, look, the hamutter mischalik l'shvav shechalokim. He split up mitzvahs and averas into two chalokim, cholos halavavos and cholos vayivorim. He says, mutter, there's three ways to approach something mutter. There's three maslulim. You're either going to do too much of whatever you're doing, and you're allowed to eat. It's kosher food. Okay? You can eat too much, or you can eat too, like Goldie Watch with the three beers. Eat too much, you can eat too little, or just right. Sleeping is mutter, not usher, not a mitzvah. That's what he says at first. You'll either sleep enough, or you'll sleep too little, or you'll sleep too much. talking. We're talking about diburim hamutarim. You're either going to talk too much, or talk too little, or talk the proper amount. That's the day hasipuk, you know what you need. For a ribui, too much. For a kitzur, too little. I think this is a logical categorization of divrei rishus. For day hasipuk, what do I mean by day hasipuk? We can't measure it, but if we can define it, and then, you know, whatever fits is included in the definition. Whatever you need to live, certainly, to be healthy, to be functional, you know, to be happy, to be whatever you need. But takonas gufo, in your health, you need to go exercise every day, okay? If you need it, if you feel you need it, so you need it. We're not talking about someone who's kidding themselves. You have to take care of yourself. That's the mutu van hogas and yonov. You have to earn a living. You have to take care of your kids. Whatever you have to do. So, de sipuko means what you need to be functional, to make everything work. Kamo amozon machal of mishkan. V'amalbush. You have to have clothing. You don't need fancy clothing. You don't need so much clothing. Oh, maybe you need so much. Women need an outfit every day of the week, I don't know. Vahamichse, okay. I tell you, my father's wife that he married after my mother was niftam, so she was considered rich in her European hometown. She had two dresses. You only know she had three dresses, one for the week and two for Shabbos. She was rich. Everybody else just had two dresses, one for the week and one for Shabbos. Vahadibur and talking, mashu tzorcheilav, you have to talk, you have to function in the society, you have to get by. Again, he's talking about needs, what you need to get by and be functional and, you know, be normal, be sociable. Again, this is the happy medium. You can't say what it is because some people need less and some people need more. But the idea is, conceptually, you're doing what you need to do. What you need, the seder in your nov, working things out in your life, or pu'ulosov, the schorosov, your business. You're going to have to go around, you're going to have to do things. You're going to take what's necessary, you're going to figure it out. I'm not saying we do that, or I'm not saying it's easy to do that. But the Chagavol is just like, you know, throws it out there. Yeah, figure out what you need and go for it. No problem. Asher b'hem yi konin yono, whatever you need. Whatever you need to make things work. Kamo shomer akosuv, tov ish chonen u'malve. Lucky is the man who can give tzedakah, who can lend money. Yichalkel dvarav b'mishpat. That's the point of this pasuk. He measures out his life. He figures out what's enough. What do I need and what don't I need? He's always making that reckoning. V'chelek hasheni, who are riboy, too much, who avor gvul dehasipuk, going over the gvul, the border, from what you need into what I don't need, too much. Asher ain't tzorech b'lodim, you don't really need it. K'mo ha-riboy mena machal v'mishta, eating too much, drinking too much, who kvar hisu mimenu ha-chacham, Shlomo Melech warned us about this, but omro, al tihi b'sove e'yayim b'zole b'osar lomo, you know, drink that wine, too much. Sove means you're drinking too much of it. Zolale boser lomo. V'chein sheyaflev liskashe p'malbushim. Too many clothes, you don't need so many. Fancy clothes, you don't need so fancy. U'marchev b'mishkonim lo docha. This is an interesting thing. You borrow money. You mean, because you give a mashkon to other people, you give collateral. So it's a nice way of saying you borrow money, even though you don't have to. Lo docha. Docha doesn't just mean you have to, it means you really have to. You're pressed, you know, so everybody, most people are in that situation at some time or another, they need to borrow money. Umosrei hadvarim, and anything extra, anything that's moser, luxuries. So he says, v'shareinenu boteach lo yikosho bohem. This is a very major thing. He's saying, what's wrong? It's mutter. It's mutter. Kavod says, I promise you, once you're going beyond what you need, you get addicted, and you need more and more and more. And at some point, you're even going to step over the line and do something awesome. First of all, it's going to consume your life. You get addicted. You can't. Because once you're in the territory of you're not controlling yourself because you don't really need this, so then everybody thinks, oh, I'm going to set up another boundary line. I'll make up my own boundary line. There's no other thing because there's no such line. So you're making up an imaginary line. So you'll keep pushing the line because you want more and more and more. The line is what you need and what you don't need. That's the line. Once you've passed what you need, then you're in very, very dangerous territory. Because whosos may you stop? And at some point, it's an addiction. You get used to having things. You get used to having what you want. And you need always, and this is one of the major yesodas of addiction, you always need a bigger thrill. Because it just doesn't give you that kick. After anything, it doesn't give you that thrill. It doesn't give you that excitement. After a few months, that becomes boring. So you move on to a bigger thrill. And at some point, you're going to get into the Avera stage. That's what they're saying. At some point, you're going to be dishonest. You're going to steal. You're going to do whatever it takes to keep that thrill going. Yeah.
It's such a relative thing. There's no absolute.
We said that. Everybody has to figure out what they need. So that's why he wrote down that pasuk, Yechalkel Devaru B'Mishpat. If you need it, great. If you need five cars, so you need five cars. It's possible you need five cars. I used to always have two cars, one for me and one for the mechanic. I always had a car by the mechanic being fixed. So I figured if I only have one car, what am I going to do? So I had two cars, one for me, one for the mechanic. It was ostensibly, in all seriousness, one for me, one for my wife.
You can't get it around.
So I have two cars. I'm like a poor yeshiva guy. You should have seen those cars, though. In my day, there was such a thing called the yeshiva shakar, held together by rubber bands. Broken, smashed. Now I go to Lakewood like everybody's driving like a spaceship. I don't know. I don't see yeshiva shakars around anymore.
Lakewood.
Well,
no, he said he went to Lakewood.
I go to Lakewood and I don't see the yeshiva shakars anymore. No. Anyway, but so that's what he says. He says once you're in date, the Chaim Lvov says. You can believe him or not believe him. You can trust him or not trust him. He says, I'm not Vera. And everybody will say, what's wrong? It's Mutter, so what's wrong? He says, I'll tell you what's wrong. That you're in dangerous territory and you'll keep needing more things. So first of all, it'll consume your life. And that'll become the goal of your life, to have more toys, to have more things. And also, when you reach that boundary of something prohibited, you're not going to have developed the self-control to hold yourself back because you're always giving more. That's what's dangerous about it. Too much, talking too much, this particular pasuk in Mishlei, you're inevitably, when you talk a lot, you're going to slip into Lashon Hara. You can end up saying something about somebody, it's going to happen. Anytime you're focused on a lot of money, you want more money than it's cute. In Shara we learned it's a waste of time. There's no such thing as ishtadlus for more than you need. So you're just wasting your time. You're going to have it, maybe, or you're not going to have it, but it's not. Since there's no din of ishtadlus for more than you need, so your mom is spinning your wheels, and you're wasting your time. You might as well like go home, go to sleep, and wake up a millionaire. He says, it's either going to happen or not going to happen. A person's ishtadlus does not give him more than he needs. That's totally up to Hashem. The din of ishtadlus is you have to take care of yourself. So you have to do what you need. But for more than what you need, he says in the Sharabidon, there's no din of ishtadlus. So, Mela, not only he's not going to say usur, but it's ridiculous. If you believe in Hashem, he says you're just wasting your time. You have time better spent on other things. Here he says that your hishtadlus in Rov Kinyan, so in chapter 1 he says it doesn't even work. Here he's not going with that, you know, he's just saying the hishtadlus in Rov Kinyan at the moment is just terrible for you. Vonemar al tiyaga la'osher mibinos vachadal. Use your brain and stop. Vama bevelet, because it was all the yarba bo ma'ot. V'choma shezacharma v'takonos ha'gubos v'na'osom maguna v'achrona. It turns out bad. I said, it either focuses your life on getting things, or you reach the line of osur. That they should make the ha'odam el mashe hizra abori men of osur. It gets you up to the point, you don't develop your self-control, and all of a sudden you're at the point of, you know, if you eat everything, you know, and then, you know, like Shlomo Melech says in the early part of Kohelet, l'chal asher sh'olu einai lo atzalti mehem. So it's just a matter of time until you want something with a questionable hesher. You know. And then the next step is the K. There's a K on it. And the next step was, I don't know, I looked at the ingredients, it doesn't say it has a fat, so it must be kosher. So that's, okay. So that's too much. She says, too much, don't tell me it's mutter, what's wrong? Later on, he's going to. It's just a question of time until you get to the Azara, plus your whole life is spent in a purposeless chase for things. And there's no end to it, because you'll always need a bigger thrill. So even if you would be able to stop at the line of Isser, but you'll always need, you'll think you need, you'll imaginarily need more and more and more to keep up that thrill. That's when you do too much. Again, he's talking about something mutter. V'chelek ha'shlishi now goes to the other extreme in ha'mutter, who ha'kitzer. You do too little. You don't eat enough. You don't sleep enough. We'll talk about sleep. Sleep might be an exception. You don't wear nice, presentable clothing. You don't take care of yourself. You do too little. You don't talk to anybody. You become a hermit. You don't want to talk to anybody. He's not mishtadel in what he needs. Machel, uba mishne, uba malbush, uba mishka, uba dibur, uba shiva, uba esik, uba tzarchi amazon, earning a living, and doimilosan. Now he says something. So what about this? Is this good or bad? Too much, bad. What about too little? So he says something very, very insightful. He says there's two reasons why a person would develop such a lifestyle of too little. He's either a big tzaddik or he's a big phony. It's possible he wants to be a porush, he wants to not take molam aseh, and he wants to act capricious. We're not talking about someone that would become sick from not eating enough, or sleeping enough, or taking care of himself, or taking stalker because he doesn't want to work. And we're not talking about that. He's talking about, maybe you're a little hungry, maybe you're a little tired, maybe you're a little not sociable. If you're doing it for the right reasons, that's okay. It's called precious. He has a shahr called shahr precious. And, you want to make your own gedorim if your motivation is good. As always, since the name of the Sefer is called the Talmud Bavos, he's always suspicious of your motivation. But if your motivation is good, and there's a homosexual called Masechus Nedorim, where a person forbids on himself something that's mutter. He says, I'm not going to eat this piece of bread, I'm not going to eat this cake. And he makes a neder out of it. And the Gemara is not sure. Throughout the Masechta, there's this dichotomous variable of, is it good to make the darim or no good to make the darim? And it seems like it depends. Depends what your motivation is. If your motivation is you want to train yourself in self-control, you want to train yourself to do without, there it's temporary, so you can be more sure that you're training. You didn't make up a new mitzvah, you're just training yourself to do without. And he'll go a few months with it, or a year. So that's okay. But then he says there are people who take too little because they want more. They want more of Olam Hazeh. What does that mean? A lot of examples. A person who goes on a diet, let's say, in a way that's not healthy. Again, we're not talking about making yourself sick. That's an aveira. But she wants to look pretty. So what's the pshat? She's trading in. She's not being a parush. She's not being parush from Olam Hazeh. She's trading in. She'd rather have this Olam Hazeh than that Olam Hazeh. A person holds back on purchasing things. He does less than he really needs. Because he's a miser and he wants money. So he's not good. He's trading the Olam Hazeh of money for the Olam Hazeh of food. That's all. So he's still mired in Olam Hazeh, and it looks like he's taking less from this world, but his motivation is to take more from this world. He just shifted the playing field. Or a person, he says, stands, he learns an extra hour in the Beis Medrash. But his reason is he wants people to see. And he wants people to look up to him. He wants people to say nice things about him. He wants kavod. He wants honor. So what's he doing? He says, an hour of having my business open and making more money, the kavod I'll get for staying in the Beis Medrash and learning, that's worth more to me. So I know this is very suspicious. He says still,
it's still a scar he gets for doing that. Not at all.
I don't know at all. I'm not Hashem's accountant. But the Chavit HaLovitz condemns it. We're talking about someone who takes less than he needs for the wrong motivation. Chavit HaLovitz says, absolutely bad. He's very suspicious. Once you go beyond the Torah, once you're making up your own rules, then motivation is everything. And if your motivation is bad, then you'd be better off not going hungry and getting enough sleep.
Again,
what? If your reason is to get kavod, so you'll say, what about mitok shelo lishma b'al lishma? That's a good question. So the answer is, that's true. But the Bali Musar explained that has to be your ultimate motivation. Like you give a child a candy because you know that this way he'll get used to learning, and you're planning for the day he grows up and he won't need the candy anymore. But if your plan is that his whole life he'll do it for the candy, that's not the shalom lishma of mitok shalom lishma bo lishma. So if a person says, okay, I'm aware that people are going to respect me and look up to me and give me kavod if I'm staying an extra hour, but my purpose in doing it is really not for the kavod, it's just now it's like giving candy to a child. But my purpose is to break free from this mitokshon. That's why Chazal didn't say the olam yasek adam b'torah mitzvah shelo lishma, because it's better than the alternative. They didn't say that. They didn't say, well, it's better than wasting time. No, I don't know if it's better or not. They said the reason is because it's a stepping stone to do things lishma. So mitok shelo lishma b'al lishma. That's very. People don't realize the wisdom of that. So what they're saying is, if that's not what you're planning, if that's not part of the game plan, that mitok shelo lishma bo lishma, then don't do it. Or else they would have said, because it's better than nothing. No, it's not better than nothing. You're setting yourself up, and you're really being a... You're mired in Olam Hazeh. You want kavod, you want to look pretty, you want more money. All these things the Chavit HaLovitz is saying, you're just trading in one Olam Hazeh for the other Olam Hazeh. So that's not a net gain. That Gemara means you have a game plan of temporary Shalom Lishma in order to climb into Lishma, giving a child candy. So that's what he said. Achelik Ashlishim and Amosur about Kitzer taking less out of the world. Behushalo Yagia Adam El Geder Tehasipuk B'Machol B'Mishne B'Malbush B'Dibush. You know, Zeichol Mishnei Chelakim. There's two possible ways to do this. Via Chasidus or Linyan Olam. It could be Chasidus. He wants to be a parish, or it could be because Olam Hazeh is very Gishmak. It's if he happens to find money more Gishmak than food. he happens to find kavod more gishmak than taking a walk. He happens to find, in the example, he happens to find being pretty more than eating properly. So they're just mired in the different yetzer hara. If your motivation is precious, to be less physical, again, he's not talking about if you make yourself sick, or if you walk around with rags outside and people look at you and offer you stuck up. He's not talking about that. He's talking about, less than what you need, but, it's not really enough. It's not really proper. So we do it for precious, to make a gedder for yourself, like asusiyot la Torah, who meshubach, based on the gemul, and you will get schar, as long as you don't go overboard, and as long as you do it for good reasons, then you'll get schar. Moshe Amar, achachom leif chachomim bebeis evel, veleif ksila bebeis simcha.
What's a good reason for having less than
practice me? Self-control. No, because that's not his goal. His goal is to practice self-control. This is what the Gemara says about the Dharma. A person may make a neder because he's self-control is a muscle that the more, like all muscles, the more you exercise, the stronger it gets. So he wants to exercise his self-control muscle. Remember the Chavos HaLavos is one of the themes of the Chavos HaLavos. That's the reason for all the mitzvahs in the Torah is that a person should control his behemoth side. So if a person feels I need to, like a susiyot la Torah, a person says, I see when I sit down to eat, I can't stop eating, so I'm going to fast every Monday and Thursday, or I'm going to eat only two meals a day, not three. He has a good motivation. He wants to exercise his self-control. He wants to be more of a parush. It's not for me to say he should always do it on a temporary measure. I don't know. Maybe it's like, once you're in AA, you can't take another drink anymore. Once you take that drink, you're finished. People that are addicted know that they can't even have one more drink. No more. That's it. They know if they take that one drink, there'll be a second drink and a third. So their self-control is no drink. Is that ideal? It's the reality of their lives. It's not ideal. The ideal is to be able to take a drink and then to control yourself. But if you're not, so your motivation is pure, you're doing it l'shem shemayim, you're doing it for precious, you're doing it to exercise your self-control, to be that much more porous from all of us. Again, the Chagavos doesn't speak it out because it doesn't need speaking out. That's another portion. If your precious makes you ill, then he's not talking about that. Then there's no excuse. Then it's asur, and you're doing an aveira. So he's talking about a certain area where you do without, where you have less than what you'd like, than what you need. A little, maybe a lot less. As long as it doesn't reach the point of, for instance, I'm going to fast every Monday and Thursday. Even for good reasons. You know what happens when you fast? You start getting snappy with your wife or with your husband. You're a little short-tempered. You're on edge. You take it out on your kids. That's terrible. That's terrible. So you have to, anytime you do something that's outside the bounds of the rituals of the Torah, you got to check your motivation and check any ramifications it might have. Hashem is very smart. Hashem said, this, yes, eat, but eat kosher. So if you want to eat less, then even you're not going to get sick from it. But you want to eat less. You want to control your eating. So you got to check the motivation. Again, like I said, if it's to look pretty, or if it's to want upsmanship with someone else, or I don't know what's it called if you bought a dress and you want to fit into it. I don't know. You don't want to do baltashkes. You don't want to waste money on the dress. Everybody needs like three wardrobes. When I'm heavy, when I'm normal, when I'm skinny. My wife's still saving my skinny outfits. She's like dreaming. No, every time there's a chasana, I'm there. So the Chavilos wants you to check your motivation, and he wants you to check any side effects. Like I said, when you're hungry, you don't sleep enough, Hashem is not happy if you take it out on your family, and you're just snappy, and you're more on edge, and you're nervous. So who needs it? Be very careful once you go outside the Torah bounds. And then he gives the biggie categories. He says, the funny thing is, you can look like a parush, but you're really doing it for Olam Hazeh motivation. Forget about that your motivation is Shalom Lishma, but you can be doing it just, like I said, another area of Olam Hazeh. You want more money, so you eat less, so you have more money. Yeah. But you're just feeding your Yetzirah for money. You're not being a parush from Olam Hazeh. Adarama. He's going to compare it in a second to, it's like a person putting out a fire by pouring gasoline on it. That's what you're doing. Like you look like you're pouring out a fire. You're controlling yourself. But you're pouring on gasoline because you're giving in to a different Yetzirah. That's also, and the point of it. So if you're doing it for precious reasons, for Meshubah, for Yeshua of Gemul, he gets even schar for that, even though it's not a mitzvah. Very important because we're doing it, L'shem Shemayim, we're doing it for precious. And the truth is, if you take it, as I said, if Chazal said that if you do it for Shalom Lishma reasons, but you're doing it for ultimate, we talk Shalom Lishma Bo Lishma, then you will also get schar for it if you're doing that. Umashiyesh b'menu l'inyan ha'olam, but if you're doing it for this world, for who l'hoser mamono, he wants more money. Oh, the Shabbat also. He wants people to say, wow, that guy's such a tzaddik. He doesn't even eat what's mutter. And he's like lapping it up. And enjoying the praise and enjoying the cover he gets. Who was stopping from the olam, but pochos being the zono. He's was stopping from the olam, you know, with less because he wants people to say, wow, what a tzaddik. Zebugunem. Mitneshu yotze min asiv habachina. He's going outside what he should be doing. Vuchomes is gufo, and he's hurting himself. He's doing it because he loves Olam Hazeh. He just has, in his mind, he has a more important Olam Hazeh than what you're looking at. Ramu Ketzas HaChachamim, here's the sentence, Misha Porish Min HaOlam, if someone is a parish because he's just using a different Yetzirah, he's feeding a different Yetzirah. He wants to smother a fire by putting on straw. That's what he's doing. The fire is just gonna. So that's what he's doing. He's pouring gasoline on the Yetzirah of Kavod. So he's not really being a parish, he's being a Kavod. Again, we explained the whole Shalolish. If we talk Shalolish or Bolishma, it's a very big Kiddush. I don't think people realize it, maybe. Let me speak it out. The Balei Musar will explain, and that fits in with the Chagas HaLavas, that we talk Shalolish or Bolishma has to be your intention. That has to be your goal. Or else Chazal could have easily said, it's better than nothing. They did not say it's better than nothing. Chagas HaLavas says it's Magunet. It's not better than nothing. Because you're serving Avodah Zarah. You're not serving Hashem. You're connected to Olam Hazeh. You're taking out of you're using Torah as a cargo machbor. You're using Torah to get kavod, maybe to get money, maybe to get social standing. That's bad. It's only good if your intention is, I'm like a child. You know, you give a child a lollipop. I'm 10 years older than a child, 20 years older than a child. I need a big lollipop. You know, so the lollipop is kavod. But I wish I could break out of this and not, you know, if you stay with the lollipop, that's a disaster. Now he says a very interesting thing. Two exceptions. Two exceptions to the too little is no good for the wrong reasons. There are two things that even if you do them for the wrong reasons, they're so good that it's kedai. It's a very, very big kiddush. But that's what he said. I mean, it's certainly a big kiddush for Shita So. Just two things, don't worry about your motivation. Just do it. Sleeping and talking. Sleep a little less than you think you need. Sleep, you know, life. Time is life. How long do you live for? every minute you get, obviously not talking about getting sick. It should be obvious, and if not, I'm speaking it out. It's for sure obvious. He's talking about, and if you can't function because you're tired, so you didn't gain anything. He's talking about sleeping less than you need. And he's saying that when it comes to sleeping and talking, I don't care what your motivation is. It's so worthwhile, just do it. He says, because he doesn't really explain that much. He says, because I'm saying, sleeping is life. Meaning, time is life. If you could minimize the downtime, some people wish they only had downtime. He said, if you can minimize your downtime and live, that's great. So I don't care if your motivation is because you're going to boast the next day how little you sleep. I don't care. It's still worthwhile. Very big Kiddush from his perspective. It's like not a good thing, but it's worth it. That's what he's saying. L'chora, I don't know any other pshat here. And talking. If you try it one day, you'll see how great it is to just, there used to be a TV show when I was a kid growing up, Mr. Ed, Talking Horse. Zabrowski, what I'm talking about?
I'm the oldest person here. What is this?
You're the only one that knows the old TV show besides me.
What's a TV?
So Mr. Ed, so there was every show had a theme song. So Mr. Ed was a talking horse. So the big machlok is on the blog. Some say it was really a zebra.
Oh.
Because zebras are very intelligent, and horses are not so intelligent. So, but it was black and white, so you can tell. Machlok is on the blogs if it was a zebra or not. But there was a line in the theme song. I won't sing it to you, it's embarrassing, I'm a rogue. But I will tell it to you, and it's a great line. It says, people go yakety yak at night and waste their time at day, but Mr. Ed will never talk unless he has something to say. That's part of the theme song. And that's what the Chaim Lovitz is saying. Try it, he says. Even if you're doing it because you want to look from, and even if you're doing it because you want to look like a tzaddik, but it's so worthwhile, because talking is just not a good thing. I mean, I can't say not a good thing, because that's not a good sentence. So talking gets you into trouble, and it so easily gets you into trouble that it's worth it to refrain from talking, meaning talk less than you have to, even if your motivation is bad. These two things, sleeping and talking, do as little as you can get away with it. Even if you have bad motivation, that's a very big Kiddush, and that's what he says. Avol hadibur v'hashena, and as people say, what? Sleeping, they can understand. I'm painting it in such a powerful term, that's life. You're going to live longer if you sleep less. People, they jog, they want to live longer. They eat healthy, they want to live longer. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, I don't know. But that's for sure, if you sleep less, you certainly live longer. Really, you're living longer. What do you mean? When you're sleeping, you're not living, you're sleeping. So Hashem made it that we have to sleep. I don't know why. Maybe he wants us to take a break and refresh our koichos. Maybe he wants the inspiration of a new day. Of course, like this, if a person wouldn't need sleep, so you get into a rut and you go on a downhill slide and it just keeps going like this. Most people, I think, wake up every day with a certain, not just physically refreshed, because that's what we're talking about. Why did Hashem make the human body that it has to be physically refreshed? Like, it's a new day, because it gives you that feeling. It's a new day. Limitless possibilities. It doesn't matter when I messed up yesterday. Today's a new day. I'm starting a new day. I could be great today. Today could work. I think it adds to that. That's what I think. That's the psychology, because you have sleep. But we're not going to Shara HaBechina now, which would be the place to examine why we need sleep and what a tova it is that Hashem made sleep. But here we're talking about sleep as little as you can get away with. Yeah.
There's a book, a study's done that
like geniuses across the spectrum, oftentimes come to their like conclude artistic or scientific or whatever it is after sleeping. Like when you're sleeping, somehow your mind is freer to think out of the box.
That's true.
You know, and they
sleeping,
wake up with...
You're saying you're shy of but you're not addressing his point to sleep as little as possible. You're not addressing his point here to sleep as little as possible. You're just talking about that Hashem may, you know, I think everybody probably has experience that you go to sleep with an insolvable problem and you wake up and, I got it, like something happens. Okay, but we're not doing Shara Bechina on sleep now. We're talking Adarabba, sleep as little as possible. He doesn't explain why I'm telling you, because sleeping is his life. Or death, so to speak. And talking, it's hard to hear because we all, because we talk. He wants you to talk as little as possible.
I don't talk.
Well, he's obviously not talking about talking mitzvahs or Torah, but he's talking about, Shlomo Melech says, even a foolish person, if he keeps his mouth shut, people will think he's wise. You know, can you ever have any shaykhus or David Feinstein? Ever interact with him, anybody? He, Mamish, the most silent person I know. He won't, he talks when he has to talk. And otherwise he just doesn't talk. It's really something to emulate. He's great. He just doesn't talk. He just doesn't talk. So, people go yakety yak. And he only talks when he'll answer a question. Probably the biggest voice in America today. But he's very silent. He's known for that, doesn't talk. Anyway, so that's what he's saying. Two things do less than you need to, even if your motivation is bad. So he says, I will adiba ba'ashina hakitzum and meshubah. Once you're doing too little, it's automatically great. Adibur v'shashtika achrisa yoser tofa. You're better off. You very rarely regret not talking. You regret talking. That's pretty common. But you don't regret not talking. Obviously not talking. It should be clear to everyone that he's not talking about in ways that are detrimental to your health. We'll stop here, and what's going to be now, he's going to now say, wait a second, I said that there's good things and bad things and reshus things, or as he called it, heter things. He's saying, he changes his mind now, in the next paragraph, and we'll learn it next week. He says, wait a second, it's not. Hashem even wants, he changes. He says, there's really no such thing as the Bahar Rishus. It's either bringing me closer to Hashem or taking me away from Hashem. Hashem is either pleased with what I'm doing. Look, if I take too much, I just said it's bad. So it's not even Stephen, it's bad. If I take too little, if I do it for Hasidus reasons, so it's good. So it's good, it's not neutral. If I do it for bad reasons, and it's bad. If I take just enough and I do Yechalkel Dvorah B'Mishpat, I figured out how not to do too much and how not to do too little. So that's also good. So there really is no neutral zone. You can't say, I'm taking a vacation from Torah. I'm not going to eat treif chas v'sholem. I'm not allowed to. But I'm just going to chill and relax and I'll do Divrei Rishus the whole day. I'll go surfing. Doesn't say it's also go surfing, whatever, So there's really no such thing he's going to say now. Maybe technically it's not a mitzvah, it's not a veira, you're right. But you're either doing something good or you're doing something bad. There really is no, like I said last week, there's no spiritual demilitarized zone. right? The demilitarized zone. There's no such thing. There's no spiritual demilitarized zone. Even until now, he was saying, yeah, but now that he's saying, you know, now that I analyze it and I put it in categories, he's now going to say, there is no demilitarized zone. Everything is either spiritual. The Tanya makes the same point, by the way. That everything, even Divrei Rishus, is either a positive spiritual value or a negative one. You know, it makes, say, oh, but that makes life so precious. Yep.
Yep.
Okay, we'll stop.